Hey, welcome to the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy our coffee. And today, I am super excited to bring you season three of the Coffee Break Podcast. We are fresh in a new studio setup. We've got new coffee cups. We've got everything prepped and ready. And this year is going to be very exciting. We're excited for 2020. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe. And while you're watching or listening, we ask you to make sure that you rate us. If you're listening on iTunes, we'd love to get 5 stars if you appreciate this information. But if you're sharing or watching this online, we ask you to comment below. Let us know where you're watching from and maybe some takeaways that you've got from the conversation. Today, our guest is Neil McLean, and he is an EOS implementer. If you don't know what that is, you're going to find that out in just a few minutes, but it's all related to the book Traction and the series Traction, all about business practices and processes from Gino Wickman. And Neil is a super sharp guy that's going to help you understand the value of Traction and the value of the system that they talk about, EOS. It is a very valuable conversation, so make sure you get a pen and a paper, get ready to take some notes. So however you want to do this, snip it on your on iTunes, pause it, whatever, take a screenshot, share it on social media. We'd love for you to tag us at LOCDOCINC and let us know where you're watching and listening from. But all of that, let's get to the conversation. Grab a cup of coffee and get ready for this conversation.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break. Oh yeah.
All right, welcome back. Neil, thank you very much for being here with us today. We're going to jump right into rapid fire. 5 randomly selected questions just to get to know you a little better. And by the way, they have unknown point values. So,
all right, I'll do my best.
It's really just this fun thing that we came up with that nobody really knows what it is, including us. So here we go. 5 questions. Number one, what completely safe animal are you inexplicably afraid of?
Completely safe animal that I'm inexplicably afraid of. Okay, so let's see. It's not going to be dogs because I have dogs. Probably a pit bull.
A pit bull, okay. Yeah, I could see that. It's a dog, seemingly.
I love dogs, friendly, but when I see pit bulls, I step back, and I'm a runner. So, if I see one coming down the sidewalk, I'm going to give him a wide berth.
keep him in your peripheral vision. That's it. Pit bulls can't, but they are friendly dogs.
Absolutely,
unless
right.
they are turned
unless
violent.
Unless they're not,
yeah. But you don't want to find
right.
out. I don't want to be introduced to it. All right, number 2. What was your first record, tape, or CD that you ever owned?
Oh, gosh. David Cassidy. I think the Partridge Family.
Really?
Yes.
So
early 70s.
An album?
Album.
You still have it?
I gave all of my albums to my brother-in-law. He's a collector.
Okay.
And I had them sitting in a place where it didn't matter anymore. They mattered a lot to him. I said, here you go, Kyle. They're all yours. And so he's a collector.
That's awesome. All right. The Partridge Family.
Mm-hmm.
That's solid. All right. Number 3. What work is most exciting to you this week?
I had 2 days with clients in the session room. So that's where I am at my best.
Yeah.
Just being with clients, working on their businesses, and those days are behind me.
Yeah.
But they were great sessions.
All right, exciting for this week. Number 4, if you had lots of money, and maybe you do, let's preface that, but what unnecessary thing would you splurge on?
Lots of money, unnecessary thing.
Yeah, like a plane, like a private plane, concert tickets, whatever.
Wow. So that kind of money, a plane would be nice. Yeah, I would probably say a private plane. I travel a lot, short distances. There would be nothing better than to get in a plane and fly 2 hours.
Yeah.
What a 2-hour car ride in a plane is about 15 minutes, and so I'll go with a plane.
Yeah, I want a chopper. That would be solid.
Right, especially in Charlotte.
You can land wherever.
Right.
I mean, almost anywhere.
Right.
All right, number 5. If you could pick 3 famous people to be a part of your entourage, who would you pick and why?
3 famous people to be a part of my entourage. I'm a college football fan, and so I love Steve Spurrier. He was our coach at South Carolina, so so Coach Spurrier would be part of the team.
Okay.
Three famous people. There's one. Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite actor.
Okay.
Of all time. And have to go with somebody young. I'll go with Post Malone.
That is a solid entourage right there.
Okay.
Steve Spurrier, Clint Eastwood, and Post Malone.
Right.
That would be a crew to hang out with. All right. Five questions. There you go. You passed rapid fire. Congratulations. And we're going to give you a solid 984 score. So very, very good.
I'll take it.
All right, cool. Well, Neil, thank you very much for joining us today. I think this is going to be really an interesting conversation because this topic is something that I've been very passionate about for a while, and I'm really interested to hear your take on it and how it works in the business world with traction and EOS. Mm-hmm. So those may be two things that our audience, people that are watching or listening, may have never heard of before, or they are very, very familiar with. I think that's kind of really the two ends of the spectrum,
sure.
Right? So to kind of start off the conversation, give us a little bit of background as to why in the world you're involved with EOS implementation. And I guess step one is, what does EOS mean?
Yeah, EOS stands for the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And basically, it's a proven process with simple, practical tools that help entrepreneurial teams experience vision, traction, and healthy. And so we can get more into that in just a minute. How did I get involved?
Yeah, well, and why?
Yeah, I started my business in 2001. It's a professional services business. We cruised along for about 10 years. Then we kind of hit a ceiling. Mm-hmm. I was stuck, team was stuck. And that's when a peer recommended that I read Traction, and so I did. And the next day, was like, all right, we need to start implementing this in our business. And so once we had those tools and systems in place for the first time ever, we just had complete clarity for where we were going, how we were going to get there. And so then I started helping clients implement EOS in their businesses and became a professional implementer. So I spend all of my time doing that. I've got a business partner that runs the business that we built. We run our business on EOS. So that's how I got started.
So why EOS is because you used it, you implemented it, and it worked
it
for
worked.
You. So you said, hey, I need to teach others about this.
You know, I had, like a lot of business owners, I'd been in business for 10 or 12 years, had read every business book. My business was just lots of different systems kind of bolted onto some original idea.
Yeah.
And it was kind of messy.
Yeah.
And things just weren't working the way that they used to work. And what I found with EOS is it just simplified everything.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought I knew a lot of these answers, but it just kind of dumbed it down into a system that made it all much more simpler for us. And that really is the beauty of the system.
So The interesting component of this is, our audience is made up of business owners, managers, and leaders, people that are working in business every day. And I think this conversation is the same conversation that we've had with a lot of people. I've been working in the business for this amount of time, and things were working to a certain point. But the thing that you just said a few minutes ago was you hit a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And at a point, people understand, or they get frustrated, or they start to feel the effects of that. We're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again, but we're not getting any different results, and we've just kind of maxed out what we're capable of. And that could be 5 years in, 10 years in, 20 years in, and you have that realization that this is more work than it's fun anymore, because it's just becoming a hassle and we're not making any progress. You deal with those people on a regular basis now? Is that the typical client that you walk into, is that they've realized this, that we've hit a ceiling and we have to make some changes?
Sure. I mean, as companies grow, they hit ceilings. The companies hit ceilings. The people in the companies hit ceilings. The departments within companies hit ceilings. And they're typical frustrations that I see, right? Frustrated with things just feel out of control, right? Yeah. I used to have my arms wrapped around this thing, and now it just every day just feels out of control. I don't control my time.
Yep.
So that I see that all of the time. People issues, whether it's with customers or employees, you know, as the numbers grow,
yep.
it just gets more complicated. Profit, you know, growing revenues, but profit's not growing. That's frustrating to people.
Sure.
And then just that idea that, you know, nothing that you do, not, you know, the new idea of the day, new software, nothing you do is working. So you're stuck. And so a lot of times when I get started with folks, that's where they are. They're frustrated, they're stuck, and when I help them understand the tools and the systems and simple things that we use within EOS, how those things help them break through all of those things, it's a relief.
Just a reminder, you're listening to the Coffee Break Podcast. Also, we wanted to let you know that our team puts together a weekly blog post. You can find it at locdoc.net/blog. It's guaranteed to raise your IQ by 12 points or your money back. So it's pretty much a win-win. All right, back to the conversation.
But I was listening to someone talk the other day, and it really kind of resonated with me because they were talking about how when they started, they were the practitioners of the business. They were the ones doing work. And I think that is very relatable. In our specific industry, in the security industry, locksmithing and security work is the business owners are the business practitioners. They're the ones physically handling the sure. work. They're the ones physically interacting with the customer base. And they enjoy it. A lot of people, they enjoy what that process is. And because of that, they gain a lot of a reputation in their market. And then their customer base starts to grow. And then their demand starts to grow. And then they see the need to hire people. And then they are turning from a practitioner into a business operator and business leader, and those are two completely different skill sets, and that's where that transition starts to happen. And I think that's where a lot of people see feel those ceilings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, there was a great business book written about that called E-Myth, and a lot of those concepts are kind of built in, baked into what we do with EOS. The other, we do a lot of reading as part of our implementations. Our leadership teams do a lot of reading as they're going through EOS. One of the books that I recommend outside of our normal reading is called What Got You Here Won't Get You There by Marshall Goldsmith. So if you've ever read that. And it's just all about how everything changes if you're a leader rather than a practitioner, and just that mindset about, you know, what's different, how do I – the words that I say matter, and so really being more thoughtful about that.
Well, it's interesting, as I've had conversations with people over the past several years, there's two different types of people, one that want that, one that's what they're trying to strive for, and some that don't want to have anything to do with it. And before you kind of get started down this path, you have to recognize, is this something that we want to grow? Is this something that we want to scale? Is this something that we want to build? Or is this, I want to be the practitioner and I don't want to grow it any farther. Like this, that I know what my capacities are, I know what my ceilings are, and I'm okay with it. And you have to decide if that's good and if you're okay with that. And if you are, then go be the best at that. And if not, then there's systems in place to help you get further down the line.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, that's the first conversation I have with a company is aimed at getting to the answer to that. Are you happy? Are you okay with the status quo? Are you? I mean, and typically when I'm meeting with people, they're not, and sure. So that's why I'm there. But it you're right. It's okay.
Yeah.
If the status quo is okay, then EOS is probably not for you, because it's going to uncover every ugly wart that is inside of your business. And so if you passionately want bigger, better, brighter for your team, it's a system that can help you get there.
Yeah. All right. So let's kind of dive into what it is, because I think we've really defined why it's important and why you would want it if that's something. So, you know, business managers, owners, leaders, people that are really driving business, and they go, hey, we need some system. There's obviously some missing components that we're working on here. So, kind of what is EOS, those elements that make up the process that they need to start looking at and be mindful of when you start to go through that process of, I guess, originally just understanding, hey, what is your business about and how this is going to work for you?
Yeah, so I'll talk about it at a high level, and then we can go as deep into the components as you want. You know, at a high level, and I said this part of this at the beginning, it's a proven process with simple practical tools that enable entrepreneurial teams to experience vision, traction, and healthy. And so when I say vision, what I mean is starting with the leadership team, getting everybody on the same page with where you're going and how you're going to get there.
Yep.
When I say traction, what I mean is helping the leadership team become more disciplined and accountable, executing really well on that vision. And when I say healthy, what I mean is helping that team become more cohesive and functional and working better together. Because let's face it, that's not always the case, especially when you've got really strong personalities on your team. So kind of from there, as goes the leadership team, so goes the rest of the organization. The goal is to get everybody crystal clear on that vision, executing really well on the vision, and advancing as a healthy team.
Yeah, it's incredible. Everything you're saying is on point with things we've experienced within our organization over time, because there's been a couple of things that have happened in a sense that we've had a leadership team evolve over time. I mean, at a point, the leadership team, and I guess in any business, leadership team could be one person, two people, three people, and then over time it's going to evolve into more. Identifying that and recognizing that at a stage, I guess, is a level of importance as a starting point so that you can start to implement these other the vision from a high level. So when you talk about vision, what are some things that you see people maybe misidentifying with vision, or how they're not clearly communicating it to their organization when you're sitting down and talking with them?
Well, probably the most common is just the leadership team not being on the same page.
Yeah.
Right? So I would say that's typically the biggest deal is when they think they're on the same page, but we literally put it on the same piece of paper, you know.
Sure.
So
a literal page, not a figurative one.
Right. And so when we think about vision, it's really getting clear on the answer to eight questions. You know, what are your core values, those behaviors that define your culture? What's your core focus, which is, you know, your sweet spot, and are you operating within that sweet spot? What does it look like 10 years from today? You know, what is that big, exciting thing that everybody as a team's headed toward? What's your marketing strategy? And within marketing strategy, we're focused on who's the target market, what their demographic, geographic, psychographic, and what are the key messages that you're sharing with them that are attracting them to you? And then we paint this big, beautiful three-year picture that kind of just brings it together in everybody's head. And because what we know is if you can see it in your head, you're more likely to get there.
Yeah.
So we start there, and that's what we would call the vision piece.
And you see that obviously when you sit down with most companies, they don't have those elements in place, or are not all of them at the beginning.
Pretty much, yeah. They're either not on the same page. They may not have any of those things. They may have core values, but they're not used the way we use them. We use core values to define, you know, the right people for an organization. A lot of times, I find core values is just something up on the wall that sounds flowery, but nobody ever really does anything with them other than just say, yeah, you know, we're customer first and integrity and honesty and all of that kind of stuff. So everything that is part of the core value piece within EOS is actually used to hire and fire and review and reward people. So I would say that number one, leadership team becomes much more clear on these things. Number two, every element of this has a very tactical component to it that helps you get better as a company.
And when you're dealing with these companies, maybe they have them, or they think that they have them, or they're inherent, but they've never documented or shared them. That was our experience here. Is once we actually put them down on paper, it was like, well, this is really the way that we've been operating for a long period of time. It's just that we didn't tell anybody.
Sure. Well, and the next thing that we try to do with core values is bring them to life. So, you know, when we say customer first, if that's a core value, what does that mean here?
Yeah.
And at different companies, you know, that's different. So we write a core value speech where, you know, we give life to it. We paint pictures. We use examples. that just help bring it to life. And so you're right. It helps. It's easy when there's 10 people in the building, but when you get to 20 to 30 to 40 to 50, I was with a company yesterday that's 400.
Oh, wow.
So you got to cascade that down to, you know, there's several layers of folks. And so as a leadership team, you got to be clear before those things start cascading out, what's being said out there, because you can't do it the way that you used to do it. Can't even get them all in the same room at the same time.
Do you find that when you have conversations with these leadership groups or these leaders that maybe they have I'm trying to think of the word to use, but maybe they think that they're communicating this out well. Maybe they have an idea or everybody knows this. And then you find out once you start getting into the organization that that's not the case, that they've got some, I don't know what the word is, but they're kind of locked away and they don't really understand that it's not being communicated out.
I mean, and of course, I did the same thing, right? I didn't understand why people couldn't read my mind.
Sure.
I mean, it was really clear to me. Why wasn't it clear to everybody else? And so you know, the way we cascade messages out to people is critical.
Yeah.
You've got to. The other thing that we know is that being a good leadership team is like being good parents, right? When you've got kids, you've got to have a clear message. You've got to be on the same page with that message. And kids have to hear it 7 times before they hear it the first time. And employees, they're not our children, but they do. People need to hear things 7 times before they hear it once.
I love it. I love hearing that from you, because that's the way that we talk about it around here. We have a weekly team meeting, all hands, every week. But not everybody's here every week. There's vacations, they're sick, there's people are on projects or whatever. And so we'll say something in one meeting. And we learned that a couple of years ago. You say something in one meeting and you're like, all right, it's done. It was communicated.
Right.
And the people that were there maybe didn't even click with them. But then there's 5 people that weren't in the meeting and they never even were exposed to the message. And so understanding that it takes that consistent communication over time is where you're going to really get that message across was a very eye-opening experience.
Yep.
Because you sit down with somebody, you're like, hey, why isn't this happening or what happened here? And they're like, well, I didn't know that was the case. And I'm like, well, we talked about it one time 4 years ago.
Right, before I was hired. Yeah, I was hired 2 years ago.
So as part of that kind of it's kind of that vision setting is understanding what those core values are, what that vision is, what that message is, and then setting some parameters, I guess, around how that's being communicated on a regular basis.
Yeah, sure. So we call that shared by all. So when we talk about vision, it begins with the leadership team being on the same page with those 8 questions, and then the second part of that vision component is shared by all. And so for us, that means every quarter we're coming together. We're making sure we're still on the same page with the vision. We're refreshing our 90-day plan. We call them rocks, but you know, what are the critical things we need to do for the next 90 days? And then we're cascading those out to the rest of the company. So we have a state of the company meeting, and we share 3 things. How did we do last quarter? You know, here's how we did on our rocks. Here's how we performed as a company.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where we are from a vision standpoint. So that's the opportunity to hear that vision again every single quarter.
Yep.
And then this is where we're going in the next 12 months and the next 90 days. And so that's how you start to ingrain it into the culture of the business.
So that's the vision or parts of the vision component. Move into the traction component. What are some things that you're seeing once that vision is kind of established, once you've kind of created that level of communicating that out and, you know, you've now identified, hey, as a leadership team, we all know what direction we're headed. We all know what the end goal is, or we all know what the next goal is, I guess. Maybe not the end goal specifically, but the next goal that we're working towards. Now, how are we putting that into place and executing on that every day?
Sure, and of course, that's the missing component with a lot of there's no shortage of vision in the world.
Sure.
And one of the things that we say in our first meeting with prospective clients is vision without traction is hallucination. Vision without traction.
That's true.
Does right? that does that resonate with you?
No, not at all, Neil. Not at all. But no, it's very very practical.
So traction is all about discipline and accountability and getting things done. And so the two primary tool sets that we use there are rocks and our meeting pulse. And so when we talk about rocks, rocks are 90-day priorities. Mm-hmm. So what are the 3 to 7 critical things which must get done in the next 90 days for the company? And so when we say 3 to 7, that's important. It's 3 to 7, not 23, mm-hmm. because when everything's important, nothing's important. And then it's so it's getting clear on those 7 rocks, and then we've also got individual rocks for the leadership team. But what we've learned is that people, they come charging out of these meetings and they're clear on the rocks, but about 60 to 70 days in, things start getting fuzzy again, and so that's why we get them into a 90-day world. Every 90 days, we come back together, we get clear on rocks again, it's heads down,
yep.
focus, set rocks for the next 90 days, learn from the last 90 days, and so that's where we really start gaining traction, is just that 90-day world of resetting rocks at a company level, departmental level, and individual level.
Now, as far as that goes, I think one of the interesting things with that, and I would be interested in your thoughts on it, everything you're saying right now reminds me or puts me back in a place of, we all go to these business conferences, or a lot of us go to business conferences, you listen to this speech and, all right, I'm charged up and I'm ready to go. And you get in a car or you get in the plane, you head back. And then Monday morning, when you get back into the office, everything is crumbling. The whole world is imploding all around you in the office. And you're like, all right, whatever. I don't have time to work on that right now. I've got to get back to solving these daily problems. How important is it to what everything you're saying is all based off of time and dedication and, like, I guess intentionality? It would be a good word, right?
Sure.
So how important is that, putting it on the calendar and then respecting that calendar and not letting, what the phrase is, not letting the urgent override the important in those factors? Is that something that you see people struggling with?
Well, so how do we stay on track? And that's actually the second part of the traction component, is what we call the meeting pulse.
Yep.
The most important meeting that leadership teams have is called the level 10 meeting. And so this is every week, same agenda, same time. And so one of the things that we do in that level 10 meeting is we look back at those rocks that we set for the quarter, mm-hmm. and we make, are we on track or are we off track with those rocks? And when we say on track, it's we're on track to get this done by the end of this 90 days.
Yeah.
When we're off track, then we put it on our issues list and we work on it. So, so we use that meeting pulse, that level 10 meeting every week to enforce discipline and accountability and to give leadership teams a reminder every 7 days, where are we on these things that we said are the critical things that must get done? And when we start getting off track, what is it that we need to do as a team to get back on track?
So it's really just a major component of accountability.
Absolutely, right. And then at the end of the quarter, we're going through those rocks and it's done, not done. Everybody calls them out. And so between the level 10 meetings every week, the quarterly meetings, the annual meetings, there's peer pressure there. So this starts at the leadership team, regular check-ins on the things that we said are most important, the rocks. We also check in on measurables, which are the most important numbers that each person is committed to. And just having that regular meeting pulse, checking on that, is where discipline and accountability comes into play within the traction component.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Coffee Break Podcast. If this information has been helpful to you, or you just really kind of like our theme song, can you help us out by rating us on whatever app you're using? And if you get really fancy, how about sharing a screenshot on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn? Okay, enough of all this. Let's get back to the conversation. It's interesting. I've shared this story a couple of times before, but a couple of years ago, we started it's got some of the elements that you're talking about with some of the leadership, some of the team leads. And we kind of pulled it from a couple of different components and made our own meeting of it. But the point of it is, one of the elements that each lead shares every week is, I need help with, right? This is a thing that I need help with. And when we first started, it was they always needed help with this thing, and it would carry on from week to week to week. They were asking for help, but it wasn't getting solved.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, things changed where everyone started to recognize, I need help on this. And they're asking directly, hey, Neil, I need to get help with this as soon as we're finished with this meeting. And then we found over the course that we did that every week, and at a point, the course switched where there were they were solving the problems on by Tuesday before the Wednesday meeting, mm-hmm. and then they would come in and say, "I don't need help with anything right now." Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting change in the discipline of what we were focused on, what was important in the organization, because they now figured out that as a team they were able to solve those problems. And it wasn't dragging on. So we were now, you know, where previously we had issues that would take months to resolve, we're now being resolved within 6 business days mm-hmm. instead of those months. So I think it's very important what you just said, that peer pressure, that accountability, it's there. And if you build it into some consistency, then you definitely see some results from that.
Sure. We just call those to-dos, yep. right? And that's another thing that comes out of Level 10 meetings, you know, and it's due at the next meeting. So all of our to-dos are 7-day action items that run from one level 10 to the next, and in 7 days later, done or not done. So
yeah.
Accountability.
Well, I think it's one of the issues that a lot of business owners, business leaders struggle with, is because there's so many different things pulling at them all the time, creating some really good habits and disciplines. And I think those types of meetings help to hold you accountable and creating disciplines.
Right.
If you get very disciplined in that, then you don't have to worry about it dragging out over a 6-month period. You can handle them in a faster time constraint. Mm-hmm. All right. So you've got the vision. You've got the traction. Anything else on traction that is relevant that people would want to know about?
I think we hit the big things. Right. I mean, it's all about. I think we've hit the big things. Rocks and the meeting pulse.
All right, so then the other component that you were talking about was the health, being healthy.
Team health?
Yeah.
Sure, so that's, you know, none of this works if you've got a team that doesn't trust each other. Mm. And so part of the team health comes in just having a regular meeting pulse, I mean, just communicating better, team being on the same page with those answers to the 8 questions. But if there are underlying health issues, once a year we do a deep dive into team health. We do that in the annual planning session.
All right.
And we actually have the team read 5 dysfunctions of a team.
Yep.
And we rate the leadership team on those 5 areas. You know, what is our team health rating for this year?
Yeah.
And get really clear. And of course, for anybody who's read 5 Dysfunctions of the Team, I think it's been on the New York Times business bestseller list for 15 years now.
Sure.
But it all begins with trust, right? Trust is that's kind of that key foundational part of the team health pyramid. So it all starts with trust, and so we've got trust tools that we use. And actually work through that as a team. So for us, as implementers, we're working with a leadership team, helping them build that trust, mm-hmm. and understanding that ultimately a team that trusts each other,
yeah.
is going to be more willing to have conflict. They're going to set better commitments. They're going to hold each other accountable. If they do all of those things, they're going to get the results that they want, and they're going to get those results with far less stress and toll on the team than a team that doesn't have trust. I work with teams that get great financial results,
yep.
but they're very low on team trust. And so what I know in those teams is they're just grinding people up, right? I mean, it's not a good place to work. People are coming and going. They've got a great business model, but there's no trust there,
yeah.
And so that's something that we've got to fix.
We could talk for hours about this part of the conversation,
sure.
and we won't do that for time constraints of the podcast. But it's very eye-opening, and we have recently done the same thing. We went through the 5 dysfunctions of a team, and it is so eye-opening when you have, you know, 7-8. People that are sitting around a table, and they all have read that book, and they all are aware of, oh, wow, this is real. and they can see where they play into those roles and how they implement into that organization structure. And at the end of it, we within the last couple of months, we had a meeting with our leadership team and talked about the five dysfunctions of a team. And we spent probably a good hour and a half talking about trust.
Sure.
And where are we at with that? How is that affecting us? Who do we trust and who do we not trust? Because, man, at the end of the day, you're not going to get anywhere in business if you can't trust anybody. Like, that's, and it seems to be, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because it seems to be this recurring theme of conversation that we're having around here and that I'm having with other people. But at the end of the day, if you don't trust that individual, it is very difficult to move to any next steps or any further phase, because you don't trust their true intentions, right? And so I think that's a major component of any business. If you don't have that at any level of your leadership team, you really have to start reassessing things.
Right, and so of course when there is trust, mm-hmm. just like, you know, in a marriage or close personal relationships, you're able to have more healthy conflict.
Yeah.
In a lot of businesses, we're just not comfortable with that, right?
Yeah.
We don't want conflict. We don't want to bring up uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
And so being strong in that trust leads to what one of the things which I think is the most important part of that pyramid, which is conflict. Having a team understand the importance of healthy conflict, having that person on the team who might be viewed as negative, mm-hmm. be comfortable that they've got that they have an important role to bring up, poke holes in things, bring conflict, ask questions. So that a lot of times is the breakthrough. Teams just get more comfortable with conflict and say, hey, I'm just doing my job as a member of this leadership to make sure that we surface the conflict that needs to be surfaced so that we become a better team.
And as you start working through all that, and that's a major component of a leadership team, is that every person understands their role and how they fit into that so that they can work in that element. Like, if that's my role to research and to ask questions and to get down to that path, then let's understand that. And we've defined that because those expectations were clearly set out at the very beginning. And so we can work within that versus everybody else in the organization just going, well, this guy's just, you know, obnoxious, you know,
right.
But we understand what is happening, and we can all, because again, going back to that trust and the intentions there, then you know that you're working for the same common goal. I think all this information is very practical. I want to kind of move to what is an EOS implementer and why is it useful or important? Because everything that we've just talked about is readily available in the book Traction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the biggest question is, so once you read it, what are you going to do with it?
Sure. And you're right. With the tools in Traction, there are five books now in the Traction library, and it was designed by Gino Wickman as open source, right? You can download the tools from the website. You can read the books. Hiring an implementer is just for somebody who wants to go faster and to use a pro. So when you're hiring a professional EOS implementer, and I'll talk about, you know, my experience.
Yeah.
We've been through hundreds of session days with clients. So one of the things is, I mean, there's almost nothing that I haven't seen in 5 years of working with clients. I've seen partnership issues, family business issues, every kind of accountability chart issue. So we've been through all of these things dozens of times, and so you're just going to get to the answers faster. So I would say that would be number one, you're going to get there faster. Number two, it's hard. One of our roles in the room is to be a coach, right? And it's hard to coach yourself. That's why people hire coaches to get better physically, to get better as a team, to be a better athletic. So we play the same role as a coach on the sideline. We watch you playing the game, and we are able to help you play that game better. It's hard to be inside of a system and change and transform that system. And one of my favorite analogies there is I'm not. It was one about water and who discovered water, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't a fish, right? So, So again, it's hard to be inside of a system, see, understand, and change that system. So a professional, a certified EOS implementer, they're serving that role as coach, and then just bringing the tools and systems and just the expertise of doing it hundreds of times. And then we're all part of a network. I mean, we get together every quarter for a couple of days to master our craft. And mm-hmm. so we're all passionate about EOS. It's all that we do. And if we do run into a situation that we've never run into before, then I've got 200 or 300 other folks out there that I can get an answer from in a day. So that's kind of hiring a professional is what you get.
So somebody that comes with experience, some that's been in a lot of variations, so when things come up, you can easily address them or help to correct them. You're hiring somebody that's going to help hold you accountable to stay on task and time, and essentially a coach in that process. I was talking to one of my buddies recently who is going through this process mm-hmm. and read the book Traction and decided to hire an EOS implementer. And I was asking him his perspective on it. And essentially what he told me in the short sum of it was that an EOS implementer helped him. He knew that he would not hold himself accountable to getting it implemented in a timely fashion.
Sure.
And so it was valuable add for him to be able to take that leap and take that initiative. So I think that it's an interesting perspective. All the tools are there, but the question is, are you going to hold yourself accountable to actually implement them? And if you don't think that's the case, then an implementer is going to help you get to that point on time, on task, and probably more effectively than if you were to go at it alone.
Yeah, we like to say self-implementing is like taking the bus using a professional's like taking the plane.
There you go.
Just get there faster.
Or a chopper, whichever one, right? Hey, Neil, thank you very much for stopping in today and chatting with us about this. I think this is something I've been very excited about. The book Traction, just all of the tools that are resources are there, but understanding how it can make your business better. And so bringing somebody in that has an outside objective that says, hey, have you thought about this? Have you seen this? Are you aware that this is happening in your business is, I think, a very, very value add. So definitely make sure that keep that in mind as each of the businesses are going through that. So here's my question. If they wanted to talk to somebody like you or even talk to you, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is just to go to my website.
Okay.
So that's sagaciouspartners.com, S-A-G-A-C-I-O-U-S partners.com, or just call me on my cell, 803-546-9223, and we'll have a conversation.
There you go. Cell phone right there.
There you go.
Anybody can call you.
Right.
Hey, Neil, thank you very much for sharing this information. Very, very valuable. I know it will definitely impact our business, hopefully for our listeners and our audience as well. If this is your first time listening or watching, we encourage you to go check us out at lockdoc.net/podcast. We have all of the information about the podcast there available for you. So if you're watching this online, well, we've got the audio version as well. You can subscribe at lockdoc.net/podcast, whatever platform you enjoy listening on. If it's iTunes, if it's on Google, Stitcher, whatever you're using, you can subscribe there. There is a link for you. Plus, all of the other episodes are available right there on the page. You can listen to them and watch them in video form as well. So be sure to check that out. We have season one and season two available online. All of 2019 was recorded and available for you there as well as part of season two, and then 20 episodes from season one. Now we are in the midst of season three, and we're going to see some more changes as this year progresses through 2020. We are excited about it. We've got a new set. We've got a new logo. We've got new coffee cups. I mean, It's getting real. All things are being prepped for season three, and we're very, very excited about that. So we definitely encourage you to check out the past episodes and make sure you're subscribed so that you can get all of the new episodes as they come out every Tuesday. As said, a video version of this is available on YouTube and Facebook. Just search for LOCDOC, and you'll be able to access all of the video clips there as well. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to seeing you next time on the Coffee Break Podcast.